the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals, and this is episode 454. It is a solo show recording on a Thursday night. This is not the show that I thought we were going to have, which was basically just a short one talking about the preseason finale coming up on Saturday, but the Cardinals decided to do a whole bunch of stuff. We're without Seth till Tuesday. We're going to wish him well. He's recovering from some procedure, had some stuff going on, so we're going to wish him some luck, and he should be back on Tuesday in terms of other type of scheduling. After the preseason game on Saturday, the Cardinals have until Tuesday to make their final cuts. I anticipate putting together a roster prediction, a roster cuts projection show. I'll probably do a set on Sunday, maybe Saturday, after the preseason game, get some stuff from Seth and kind of share that with y'all as things drastically got kind of funny. It's kind of a funny thing because for the NFL Wire, for the USA Today NFL Wire Network, we do some network articles where each NFL editor, every team editor, puts something together for their team. And the one that's coming up, I think it's going to publish on Friday or Saturday, is Surprise Cuts. My goodness. My predictions were good predictions, only they didn't get cut at the final cuts. One was cut. That was Matt Hawk. That was my surprise cut. I was predicting that, but they cut him early. And the other one I said, Josh Jones could be cut. No, but that's what we're going to talk about in this show, is the fact that Josh Jones was one of three trades the Cardinals made on Thursday. And that's what I'm about. I know we won't get Seth's insight until Tuesday, and it might not matter by then. But the Cardinals made three trades on Tuesday, which both clarifies and adds question marks to the roster entering the 2023 season. And let's start with the first one. So this show, I want to talk about each of the trades, look ahead to their draft capital for 2024, and then briefly look at to their preseason game that they have coming up on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Arizona time, against the Minnesota Vikings on the road. Let's start with the first trade, which was, I was at my other job. If you don't know, I teach high school. I do sort of both jobs parallelly. I don't try to treat this job like it's a side hustle. It began that way, but I've been writing and now podcasting about the Cardinals for over a decade, and I don't consider it a hobby, they say. But, you know, I was given class, I think it was right before class started, and I saw the notification of Adam Schefter about the Cardinals trading Isaiah Simmons to the Giants for a 7th-round pick. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is, we continue to see a roster tear down, and it's very interesting to see how the upper manager, so Monty Austin for general manager and head coach Jonathan Gannon, how they view the roster, because Simmons was, I will say this, and I talked about, this is something I mentioned on the last show. If you look at what Simmons has done statistically, it's not been bad at all. He fills the stat sheet across the board. He does make plays. The problem is, when he makes mistakes, they're bad, and they make him look bad. And so, he's made some fantastic plays. He's been a good player for the Cardinals, but he has enough lapses or bad leverage or poor technique that get him into trouble. And it became clear that the Cardinals' new head coach and new general manager just didn't value Simmons the way the last team did. Obviously, the Cardinals drafted Simmons 8th overall in 2020. They had high hopes for him. He's got talent up the wazoo. They tried to basically make him a linebacker slash do-it-all player. And he could do a lot of different things, and these things he did pretty all right, but he was not elite at anything. And there were still enough mistakes. Like his in 2020, he didn't play much. In 2021, he played a lot, and he made lots of plays. Like, who can forget the overtime interception against the Seahawks? I don't remember that 2020, but he made several plays in 2021. He also gave up a few, like, and that's one thing that Vance Joseph, the former defensive coordinator, would say is that he made some plays, but he's got to give up fewer. Last year did a better job of that, but last year his role changed as well. He was playing a little less linebacker and became the Cardinals' prime slot defender. That is not slot receiver, slot corner, because of their cornerback situation. They had signed a guy, Jeff Gladney. He ended up dying in a car accident. Antonio Hamilton, Byron Murphy was kind of their guy that played the slot primarily. They needed him to play the boundary. And Antonio Hamilton and Marco Wilson were battling it out. Antonio ended up winning that battle, but then badly burned his feet in a kitchen accident and missed a good chunk of the season. And so Simmons was working with the safeties last year and ended up playing a lot of slot corner. And aside from that season opener against the Chiefs, he did play poorly. He wasn't prepared. He played with bad technique, and it showed. He got sort of benched and then kind of played back into the lineup. And if you notice the rest of the year, he was never really exposed. And this is a 6'4", 235 guy that's covering, 5'8" slot receivers or even big slot receivers, tight ends. He really didn't get – he wasn't exposed at all. He didn't do everything great, but he's now they move him to safety this offseason. Everyone, the kind of vibe feels like, yeah, this is a natural position, being able to have, Simmons back there, Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson. It really can unlock some of the potential that Simmons had. And then the game against the Chiefs wasn't good. And I don't know how the talks were with other teams, if there were multiple suitors, if the Cardinals went around shopping him. But a first-round pick. Now, salary-wise, they don't save much because he was paid $2.4 million in a roster bonus. The Cardinals, with their first-round picks, have done this kind of recently, is that they give the guys their signings, and then rather than locking that rest of that money in, that guaranteed money in salary, they kind of been, they will pay the minimum salary to on the books as that, and then they would give their former first round picks a roster bonus at the beginning of training camp. I don't know if that's standard operating procedure for other teams, but that's what the Cardinals, because Kyler Murray has it that way, Isaiah Simmons had it that way, and so he's technically for $1.01 million. The Cardinals are only going to save that amount because they paid him $2.4 million at the start of training camp, which means they were fine with biting the bullet. So, like with DeAndre Hopkins, they were fine eating that salary, eating that paid money to send him to another team to get a seventh-round pick. Now, granted, he is in the final year of his contract, and there is some optimism that in New York that he's going to be able to be unlocked by their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, and it's going to be interesting because while the Cardinals and Jonathan Gannett had kind of limited him to playing safety, just kind of limited his role, kind of focused it a little bit, they're going to use him in New York basically the way that Vance Joseph used him. Looks like he's probably going to start at inside linebacker. He's going to probably be a situational pass rusher. They'll use him a little bit in coverage. And it'll be nice for that defensive coordinator there to be able to use him in a lot of different ways. But what's funny is that he's going to be doing exactly what he was doing before when it felt like he hadn't kind of untapped his potential. There was Mike Jarecki kind of suggested that, well, he's close with DeAndre Hopkins, that Simmons was, let's say it, kind of unhappy to be here, wanted to be somewhere else, and maybe that showed down the stretch. And because it feels weird after a lackluster preseason performance that they would just jettison him We all saw the lack of effort on the Shane Buechele touchdown run and it wasn't even like a business decision, because we've seen defensive backs do that before with like big running backs coming down to the end zone and they make a business decision to kind of let up. Simmons, with his speed and his size, could have completely leveled Buechele, and he didn't. He just let him go to the end zone. If you remember what Simmons is able to do, if you remember that game against the 49ers, I think it was in 2021, and he like collided with Trey Lance at the goal line and just absolutely demolished himself and Lance. That's the type of thing we've seen Simmons do before, and yeah, but now he's gone, and it's a very interesting thing that it does, because one, it opens up the safety room, and you only have two safeties that you know and feel are valid starters, and then you have to really test the depth after that. Who are the guys to consider? I think Andre Sasseri, special teams guy from the Eagles, was with the Cardinals in 4 minutes. I think it was back in 2018 or 2019 as an undrafted rookie, didn't make the team, but was with the Eagles last season, played a little safety, special teams. You kind of feel like he's got a lock on the roster, but also Juju Hughes, he got some playing time, looked like he was a little more suited for safety. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because you really only kind of love the two safeties that they've got in Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker. And unless, because what we saw with Simmons back there is that Jalen Thompson was their slot receiver corner. They played him in the slot, kind of how the Eagles played Chauncey, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson over there in Philly. If he's played safety, lined up in the slot, that they were using Jalen Thompson like this. Now the question now is going to become, what do they do next? Do they bring that three safety set and then they bring in a guy like Juju Hughes to play deep safety and keep Thompson in the slot? Or will they keep Thompson and playing in the role that he did for the Cardinals of the last 3 years? And then we saw Antonio Hamilton playing in the slot in the game against the Chiefs. If he could then become your third cornerback and you go with that instead, you can go with Thompson and Baker on the back end, use Hamilton in the slot, and then you have reserve / teams safeties, guys that will fill in but won't really get defensive snaps unless there is an injury. And so it kind of leaves that. Now, an interesting fact is the fact that Simmons won't be gone long, because the Cardinals will host the Giants in week two. It's their home opener. And so just 2 weeks into the season, and Simmons will get to have his revenge game, if you want to call it that, or a homecoming or whatnot. And you kind of look at what the react is. There's some saying good riddance. There's some acting like Simmons was a great player. What Simmons was an incredibly talented player who made some elite plays, but didn't quite didn't tap into his income sex, his talents and success completely. He's kind of your classic master of all trades. Like jack of all trades, master of none. And that's kind of what it was. Like there was no, it didn't feel like that he had one particular trait to his game where he was great at. Like he was not a great tackler. He was not great in coverage. He was not a great pass rusher. He can move real well. He was like, when he get the ball in his hands a couple of times, he was not a ball hawk per se. He had a few interceptions in his 3 seasons with the Cardinals, but he could do it all, but there was nothing special that he was a player. And I guess that's the disappointing thing, is because when you draft a player like that 8th overall, kind of what the expectation was is that he would become something special. I was surprised by the trade, but not overly surprised at the trade, because this is just another case of this general manager, the Austin Fort, viewing roster building differently than time did. And we see with how they handle the linebacker position, these are all lower draft picks than they're producing. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because it does kind of open things up. It's like, you know that he's gone. And so what's going to happen at the safety position? What's going to happen with the defensive back rotation? That's the other thing. So kind of watch in the preseason finale. And I don't, and we'll talk about the preseason, but I don't expect anyone of note to play. But if you see Antonio Hamilton playing significant snaps in the slot, pay attention to who they have running in the slot to see if that's kind of the reps that they're going to get. And I wonder how long these talks were happening, and if that was one of the things that maybe that got in the way of Simmons' play on Saturday, where he knew he was kind of out the door, and he'd already in his mind packed his bags, which is, it's a very human thing to do. But yeah, so coming up next on the Rise of Seaward podcast, Spencer Cardinals Talk of the Web, let's talk about the second trade on Thursday, and that's Josh Jones. Tackle Josh Jones coming in next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast. This is our Cardinals Talk on the Web. Josh Jones was the second trade. I was not surprised at all. I was just surprised today. I thought it might happen over the weekend leading up to final cuts, but no. The Houston Texans make a deal to bring Josh Jones back to the Houston area. Of course, he played for the University of Houston. He returns to the Houston area, to the Texans. The Cardinals packaged him and a seventh round pick. So basically, essentially, they traded Simmons and Josh Jones to get a fifth pick. They traded Josh Jones, they traded their seventh round pick to the Houston Texans and got in return their fifth round pick, which now, interesting fact, the Cardinals now have, they now own three of the Texans' draft picks next year. They have the Texans' number one pick, they have their third round pick, and now they have their fifth round pick. Now, granted, the Texans also have the Cardinals' seventh round pick. That's fine. There's nothing to do with that. But the writing was kind of on the wall for Josh Jones, and it came down to this. He was a left tackle. He can play right tackle. You could tell that he wasn't nearly as comfortable playing on the right side. He didn't play right guard particularly well when he had the chance 2 seasons ago. Now, he played quite well at left tackle, but the Cardinals have a left tackle that they love in DJ Humphreys. They drafted Paris Johnson. They re-signed Kelvin Beachum to a two-year deal and completely guaranteed his salary this year. Josh Jones was going to, now that there was talk, there was some speculation maybe you'd plug him in at left guard. But then they signed Elijah Wilkinson and Dennis Daly, and Jones didn't get a lick of time at guard this offseason. He'd been practicing at right tackle, left tackle, and that's where we saw him in the preseason. He played right tackle for a game, and he played left tackle for a game, and he didn't look great at right tackle. He played pretty well at left tackle. But in terms of building the roster, you already have Humphreys, and you have Paris Johnson, their number one pick that's going to start at right tackle. You have, then basically it became a battle between Beachum and Jones to be the swing tackle. Beachum has much more experience. He's been a good left tackle and a good right tackle. His money's completely guaranteed this year. He's 30-something years old. And so he gives you steadiness. And he's a guy that Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austinfort actually sought to re-sign. So he became one of their guys. Jones was entering the final year of his contract. And just there wasn't a space for him because they didn't view him as a guard. In my roster projections, I've seen he was basically at best offensive line number 9, because you have your starting five. So you got Humphreys, you got Wilkinson, you got Yeldafro Holt. You've got Will Hernandez, that is, and you have Paris Johnson. Then you have Dennis Daly, who was basically offensive line number 6. You've got the rookie John Gaines, who's the backup center, and then you have your swing tackle, that's going to be Beachum or Jones. So which one of those are you going to? And I felt that Beachum would probably have it. And then their 9th offensive lineman, do they want a young, developing guy like a Marquise Hayes, 7th round pick last year guard? Do they want to go with like Orton, that they acquired this offseason, like center guard? Do you want to do a guard tackle? Do you want to do another tackle? But Jones is just like it. For that ninth offensive lineman, it's usually going to be a young guy, and it's usually someone who you can develop a little bit. And Jones didn't quite fit that bill. Now, going to Houston, if he gets an opportunity to play, that might be a great spot for him. And he's going to make $2.7 million. He hit the playing time escalator. And so the Cardinals do save a little bit of money in that sense. But if he was going to get cut anyway, then but instead they get a fifth-round pick. They get rid of a seventh-round pick. They pick up a fifth-round pick, which they're going to use later. And so I saw the writing on the wall months ago, even before the offseason program. I mean, even before training camp. So during the offseason program, just the numbers didn't add up. And if you looked at the guys that they signed, they had guaranteed money. Not just guaranteed like their signing bonus, but the guaranteed salary, which means the Cardinals are going to have to pay no matter what. Elijah Wilkinson's contract, $940,000 of his salary is guaranteed. Dennis Daly, I think $400,000 of his salary is guaranteed. Kelvin Beachum, all of his $1.16 million is fully guaranteed. And so looking at that, you know that you kind of see that that's where that they made their commitment. And Jones just wasn't it. Now, could he develop into something nice? Yeah, I'm sure he could. And if he becomes a very good left tackle, then the Cardinals might have missed out. Except, they just drafted Paris Johnson. So even if DJ Humphries, they decide to move on from him, I think they believe they already have their franchise left tackle in Paris Johnson. Whether they keep DJ for another year or two or three, they're going to keep him playing. You got Paris on the right side and a transition. You're going to re-sign Paris and you're going to put him on the left side and you've got that. And so it just came down to that. They re-signed Beachum. They drafted Paris Johnson, which made Josh Jones's spot much more tenuous. If this coaching staff had viewed him as being able to play guard, I'm sure they would have given a longer look, but it clearly did not view him as a guard because they only used him at tackle this offseason. And so I wasn't surprised. I saw the writing. I felt that it was either going to be Jones or Beachum on the roster. And I felt probably that Jones was going to get traded because he had the upside. There was the ability, like a young tackle can fetch more on the open market. And so that's it. So coming up next on the Rise Up Seward podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, we're going to move on and talk about the third trade of the day, which is very interesting with questions moving forward, and that's for quarterback Josh Dobbs. That's coming to next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best of Cardinals Talk on the Web. The third trade of the day on Thursday was for a quarterback. It was a quarterback that many had suggested might probably be a target for the Cardinals in the offseason. The final trade of the day, the Cardinals traded a fifth-round pick and ended up being so the Cardinals had three fifth-round picks after the other trades that they'd made. They traded the fifth that they got from the Philadelphia Eagles, sent it to the Cleveland Browns to acquire quarterback Josh Dobbs and Cleveland's seventh-round pick, which it's an interesting thing. Dobbs, who was very, very interesting story because last year he was kind of the number two, number three guy. He was basically a third-string quarterback in Cleveland last year. And then when Deshaun Watson came back, he was released. He got picked up by Detroit and ended up finishing the season with the Tennessee Titans, started a couple times. He's been in the league since 2017, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's to say about his career so far than he's stuck around in the NFL since 2017. But important note, offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, Drew Petsing, was the quarterback's coach last year. And Dobbs was a free agent. And, you know, thought maybe he could be a target. Now, I think I was looking more at Kellen Mond because he worked there. But Dobbs was a possibility. And now Dobbs actually has two connections, three connections to the Cardinals in the new system because you got Drew Petsing, who was the quarterback's coach there in Cleveland last year. He started the last two games of the year for Tennessee, or started two games last year for Tennessee. That's where Monty Austenfort was in the front office, one of the executives there for the Titans last season. And his time with the Lions, of course, assistant GM Dave Sears was the director of scouting, or rather the director over there for the Lions. Granted, that's different area, but Sears would have seen him, would have evaluated him in some capacity there in the building. Dobbs, I don't know what to make of him. I sort of figured that in the offseason they might pick up a guy like a Dobbs or a Kellen Mond, a guy that knew the offensive system that Petsing was bringing, but wasn't going to necessarily be a guy that would supplant Colt McCoy. And I kind of feel the same way, because Dobbs hasn't done anything in his career other than be in a few places. The Browns actually re-signed him this offseason to a one-year, $2 million completely guaranteed deal, $500,000 up front, a $1.5 million in guaranteed salary. He was on track to be the backup quarterback to Deshaun Watson. But they drafted UCLA quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR, who's been fantastic in the preseason. And interesting note is that we found out from Tony Grossi, I had him pronounce it for one of the ESPN stations in Cleveland for Land of, just a website that kind of does some stuff, but a legit reporter, said that Dobbs actually almost signed with the Cardinals in the offseason. So we can basically know that the Cardinals wanted Dobbs early in the offseason. They initiated the call to the Browns. I don't know at what point that happened, whether that was over the weekend, was it was after the game against the Chiefs. At what point did they decide that they needed to get a different quarterback other than have Colt McCoy, Clayton Tune, until Kyler Murray gets back? Now, if there's one thing that I think this suggests, and I don't know if Dobbs is going to come in and then start in week one. Colt McCoy hasn't looked good, but I don't know. But it's not like you can look at Josh Dobbs, body of work in the NFL and think that he's going to compete in 2 weeks for a starting job. I don't know. But I think there's one thing that this does, I think, firmly say, and that Kyler Murray is going to start the season on PUP, because if he weren't, why would you need another quarterback? If he were going to come off PUP and be on the active roster and sit for 1 to 3 weeks, they wouldn't need to have a third quarterback. Unless they're done with Colt McCoy, and that's going to be a stretch. Unless Colt himself decides to retire, he has a chunk of money guaranteed in his salary this year. And he all offseason told his kids they're not getting a dog yet, if you remember that story. But he's due to make $3.75 million. $3.75 million, that's the most salary he has earned. That's the highest salary of his entire career at age 37. Why would you walk away from that? 2.25 of that is fully guaranteed. So the Cardinals viably could cut him, but they would still have to pay him more than $2 million. It's not one of those cases of the day. It's not just like the dead money against the cap. They would actively have to pay him to not be on the team anymore. That's a normal thing for other sports. Like that happens in baseball when you DFA a guy, that because those contracts are guaranteed. NFL contracts are not like that. So very interesting thing. So do I think that Dobbs is going to supplant McCoy? I don't think so. But since I think the decision is, okay, going to start the season in PUP, that means you probably need three quarterbacks on your roster. And with the emergency quarterback rule, the third quarterback rule, where you don't have to burn a roster spot on game day, but you do have to burn a roster spot in the 53 for a third quarterback to be able to use it, I think that allows them to then push Clayton Tune down the depth chart so that they can develop him and not expect him to be backup. Like, everyone thinks the Cardinals are tanking, right? Everyone thinks they're going to be terrible. But don't talk to Jonathan Gannon about that. They're trying to set up a roster that can survive until Kyler gets back. And if they start with Colt McCoy, Josh Dobbs is the backup, and then Clayton Tune is your third stringer, and that kind of builds things moving forward. So you've got a young developing guy. You've got a veteran, a savvy veteran that knows the system, and you've got your placeholder starter in McCoy. It's kind of an interesting thing. Some suggest that is Dobbs going to be the week one starter? I don't know. I just don't think so. Is he going to be week two starter? Well, that's always possible. There's also another possibility. What if Colt McCoy's hurt? He got hurt at the end of right before the season last year, strained his calf, and so that's something to watch. If Colt McCoy is injured, well, then they needed to get another quarterback because they didn't want to start the season with Clayton Tune or David Blough. And we can basically say goodbye to David Blough. Goodbye, David Blough. It was nice knowing you. You had a nice scene on Hard Knocks with the card trick with Cliff Kingsbury, and you also had the nice comeback drive in preseason game to pick up the victory. Good for you. Like, fantastic. I root for all NFL players. Having covered in the locker room for the Cardinals, minus the COVID year since 2012, football players are pretty, most of the time, they're good dudes. They're fairly young guys trying to make an impact in a league that just spits out players. It's an unforgiving league. It's an unforgiving sport. But he's not. It's just not his job. He's not going to do it. And so I believe that the Dobbs move is to either, one, give them depth so they don't need to start Clayton Tune until Kyler Murray gets back. And I think it says that Kyler Murray is not going to be back by week one. And he won't be back like week two. And he won't be back by week three. In fact, I'm certain he's going to start the season on PUP, which means we're looking at least week five or later for his return, which is kind of what I predicted. I predicted a week six return. Is Josh Dobbs a move that we should get excited about? No, there is nothing about Josh Dobbs' game that will move the needle per se any more than, say, if you were to go out and sign Brett Hundley, and we've had Brett Hundley or even a Chris Streveler. Josh Dobbs is a guy. He's a guy who's smart. Obviously, he's been good enough to be on rosters for the last five seasons to kind of work his way up where they planned on him being the backup to Deshaun Watson last year. He's got some athleticism. If he ends up starting quarterback, I don't think the Cardinals are in a better situation or necessarily a worse situation than Colt McCoy. He's just kind of a less accomplished, younger Colt McCoy, essentially. So yeah, it's fun for the roster, but I don't think it's as big move as we thought. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's talk about what the Cardinals now have in the draft and what we can talk about in the preseason finale on Saturday. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, the final segment of the show. With this solo show, I hope you haven't minded listening to just me in this show, but the Cardinals now, with the moves that they made, have 12 draft picks in 2024. They have 11. They have 11 and are projected to have a 12th as a compensatory pick, and this is how it kind of goes. So they have their own first-round draft pick. They own the Houston Texans, first-round draft pick. They have their own second-round draft pick. They have three picks in the third round. They have their own. They have the Texans, and they have the Titans. They have their own fourth-round pick and are projected to get a fourth-round compensatory pick. In the fifth round, they now have two. They did have three until the Josh Dobbs trade, so they have their own fifth-round pick. They have the Texans' fifth-round pick. They no longer have the Eagles' fifth-round pick. And they do not have a sixth-round pick because they traded that for Chosen Anderson. Best deal ever. And they have two seventh-round selections. They have the Giants' second seventh-round selection and now the Browns' seventh-round selection. Even if the Cardinals aren't they're not actively trying to lose games, they are looking ahead to 2024 for sure. 12 draft picks, a ton of cap space. The plan is, if Kyler Murray comes back healthy and plays well, then you're in position to make a big splash and be really good in 2024. We'll see if that happens. Now, that gives them 6 selections in the top 100 and then 6 depth picks after that for day 3. That's a good deal. They've really said, and assuming, because they could have 2 top 5 picks next year, that one of those selections is going to be traded for a haul, which would give them draft capital moving forward in 2025 and beyond. And so, in terms of acquiring assets, Monty Austin-Fort has really set himself up very nicely. But as for the preseason game on Saturday, this is a preseason finale. This will be like, if you watch the XFL or if you watch the USFL, that's what these games are. This is an entire game of the USFL where you have young guys and backups playing. You're not going to really see any, I doubt any starters play. You're not going to see Colt McCoy. It will probably be a lot of Clayton Tune and David Blau. I'm guessing Josh Dobbs doesn't play because the game's in 2 days, and he hasn't been here. That was not a move for the preseason game. That was a move for the regular season. I don't expect to see James Conner in the game. I question if they will even have Keontae Ingram. So if they're top 2 backs, if Ingram has locked up the number 2 spot, then I expect to see, it's probably going to be a showcase of Amari DeMarcado, Corey Clement, if Tyson Williams healthy, he can play again, and maybe some Stevie Scott at receiver. No Hollywood. I wonder if even Michael Wilson will play, or if he plays, it'll be just a little bit. The rookie. You'll see a lot of Greg Dort, Anja Bichelia, Davion, those guys. The tight end. No, Zach Ertz isn't going to play. Nope. I wonder if Trey McBride might play a little bit. Probably not Jeff Swaim. And then just a bunch of Blake Whitehart, Joe Honigfer, Bernhard Sikovits. The offensive line, you're going to see. I wonder if even Kevin Beachum will play. Beachum might play a little early. But I would expect to see Jackson Barton, Badara Traore, John Gaines, Dennis Daly. You're not going to see the starters. You're going to see young guys, and the young guys are going to get. It's going to basically look like a rotation that you would normally have in a regular season game, with the young guys. So yeah, it's basically a USFL game, and the Cardinals are not big underdogs this time. They're only 1.5-point underdogs. But honestly, these games are bonkers. Don't bet those. And if you do want to bet all the games and bet the underdog on the money line, get those positive odds, you're probably gonna win money, because even if you split those games 8-8, because of the positive odds that you get, you're gonna win. So yeah, if you want to play that game, sounds like a plan. You don't want to see any major injuries, especially to promoters. You want to see certain players kind of show out. This would be a great game for Ketrell Clark or Christian Matthew to sort of come out and make big plays and kind of give you promise for what's coming in the regular season. This is extended play for the rookies. I don't know if Paris Johnson will play much either. But yeah. So your late-round picks, your undrafted guys, and just guys that you want to see. These are showcasing for other teams, because cuts are coming Tuesday, and then the practice squad, and probably most of the guys that are on the practice squad are in the building already. But yeah, with that, I will go ahead and wrap up this show. There's not much we need to talk about against the Vikings. Do we want to see him win? I don't know. This game is for the hardcore fans. You just want to watch football. You don't care who it is, but you want to see your team with the uniform that you like to see. You want to see them playing, And then the hardcore guys, you're just getting, you want to kind of watch and play pretend scout and things like that. And for me, I want to see how things shake out. I want to see how the roster is going to get built. And then after that, then it's on to the regular season. And I'll put together another show. It'll be Saturday or Sunday, which we'll talk about our roster projections. And we will record on Tuesday night, which means we will get to talk about the initial 53-man roster. And with that, this is episode 454. I'm Jess Roop. Thanks for listening as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red. Whoa!